Welcome, everybody, to our brand new series. I love the title of this series, if I do say so myself. It's just got one word, and I love that word, receive. Receive. A lot of people like to give. I love to receive. I don't know about you, but I love receiving. You know, most of us have so many responsibilities in our day-to-day lives, don't we? So many things we have to do, and it starts off as a child, right? As a child, you go to school, you're expected to study hard and bring home good grades. As we got older, you know, we had to juggle a lot of other activities, you know, extracurricular activities, work, chores at home, sports, all those kinds of things. And as adults, we work at jobs that are often demanding. We have to prove our worth and our value every single day to stay employed. Our families count on us to be there for them. Our friends rely on us. They depend on us to help them through their problems. Our parents need more and more assistance as they age. Even adult children require help and support to get a good start in life. It's just a lot, isn't it? There's a lot to life, a lot of responsibilities. We're expected to perform, to succeed, and to be there whenever someone needs us. Life, as we've structured it, requires us to give our best every day, and that can be exhausting. But what God asks of you is something very different. What God asks of you is simply to receive his goodness and grace, to receive his power, his spirit, his life, and his love. Scripture says that every perfect gift is from above and coming down from the Father of lights. God wants you to receive every good and perfect gift from him. No strings attached, no quid pro quos, no restrictions, no limitations. Every gift from heaven is free. It's just free. Every gift from heaven, there's no strings attached. There's nothing that we need to do. God just wants to give it to us. Sure, we're expected, you know, to give back, to serve, to share, to contribute, to get involved. Those are all things we do to become mature believers. But our generosity flows from God's generosity. And what we do for others is not a condition of his provision. God is first and foremost a provider. He wants to give to you. He is a good father. Jesus once said to his disciples, "Which of you would hand his son a stone if he asked for a loaf of bread, or a snake if he asks for a fish?" No loving father would do that. All good parents want the best for their children. If that's the case, Jesus says, then how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask? One of God's greatest gifts is his friendship. So today I want to talk with you about receiving God's friendship. Years ago, a very generous benefactor invited all the priests in San Francisco to attend a 49ers game at his luxury suite at the new Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. Now, you guys know that I don't know anything about football. I don't know anything about sports. I don't care for it. But I could not pass this opportunity up to watch the game from a corporate suite. I had never done that before. We had VIP parking, special access passes, and unbridled luxury during the game. There was a lavish buffet set up with all kinds of delicious food. The bar was stocked with complimentary drinks. We watched the game from plush leather seats with cup holders, you know, like in those modern movie theaters. I mean, I felt like I was a major player, like I was among the elite. I was among the in crowd at that moment. Well, I've experienced that kind of thing from time to time before, but this time was different. This time, I didn't have to pay for it. I just received it. It was a gift. I think we all want to be part of an inside circle, of an inner circle. We want to feel like we belong, right, to some elite club. This is why all of those companies have these, you know, elite membership clubs. Like a friend of mine has got premier status on United Airlines, and he gets priority boarding, he gets access to the airport lounges before the flight and free drinks on the flight. It makes flying fun. A few years ago, I wanted to be like him. I couldn't earn that status on United Airlines, but what I could do is sign up for a Platinum American Express card, and then I would get access to the airport lounges. And when I received that card in the mail, folks, I felt like I was walking on air. Have you ever felt a Platinum American Express card? I mean, it is weighty. It's not like another credit card in your wallet. And every time I used that Platinum American Express card, I felt like a star, like I was a member of the rich and famous. The clerk in the checkout line would look at me like I'm somebody, until I got the bill for the annual fee in the mail. It was enormous, and I canceled it immediately. I finally came to my senses. But when God invites you into his friendship, he gives you the ultimate insider experience at no charge. He invites you into his inner circle of life and love. When you accept that invitation, when you receive his friendship, you are moved to a higher place. Your status automatically changes. You have special access to God's favor and grace in your life. Imagine, for example, you're standing at Disneyland. Kids, who's gone to Disneyland? I see a few hands there. Parents, get those kids to Disneyland. It is the Holy Grail. Anyway, imagine you're standing at Disneyland and you have to wait for 3 hours to get into the newest ride, to get on the newest ride or to experience the latest attraction. You're standing there and the line is so long ahead of you, you think you'll never get up there. And then all of a sudden, a cast member comes right next to you and unhooks the ropes and ushers you into the fast pass lane. In a flash, you're at the head of the line and you're getting on that ride. That's what God's friendship is like. It's a change in standing, like an upgrade from, a complimentary upgrade from economy to first class. In John chapter 15, we heard it in the gospel today. Jesus is at the Last Supper. He's talking to his disciples. He's saying goodbye to them because he knows he will have to die on the cross the following day. It was a farewell dinner for the time being. And in the course of his parting words, Jesus said this to his disciples, "I no longer call you servants." Now, this is important because servants do what they're told to do because they're told to do it. Servants don't share in a mission. Servants don't understand or invest themselves in a vision. As Jesus said, a servant does not know what his master is doing. Servants follow orders. They obey. They do what they're told because they're told to do it. Jesus, early on in his relationship with his disciples, regarded them as his servants. This would have been normal. In those days, disciples followed their teachers everywhere. They would live with them and walk with them from town to town. They were known as Shemush Chamamim. That's my best Hebrew. Shemush Chamamim, which means servants of the sages, servants of the wise ones. They would follow the rabbi everywhere he went. They were expected to serve him and to submit to his authority. A disciple would carry his rabbi's bags, prepare meals for him, give him money, protect him with his own life. Sounds like a good gig to me. If anybody would like to be my disciple, please let me know after Mass. I've got bags you can carry and meals you can prepare. But in those days, disciples never challenged or questioned the rabbi at all. They simply obeyed because they were considered servants. But in his final words, Jesus upgraded their status, the status of his disciples. He said, I have called you friends because I have told you everything I've heard from my Father. Somewhere along the line, the disciples changed from being his servants to being his friends. Jesus promoted them and invited them into the inner circle of God's life and love, into that inner circle of life and love where we all want to be. He shared his knowledge with them. He called them into a special relationship of intimacy and love, and he even laid down his life for them. You know, in the ancient world, the mark of true friendship was your willingness to die for the one you called friend. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends, Jesus said. And then he looked at his disciples and he said, you are my friends. He says the same thing to each of us gathered here this morning. You have been invited into his friendship. You are not a slave. You are not a servant. You are not merely a worker for God. You are his friend. But sometimes we close ourselves off to God's friendship for a lot of reasons. One reason is that you might not feel worthy of God's friendship. A while back, I was invited over to the house of a very nice couple for dinner. They had an immaculate home. Everything was in its place and beautifully kept. You could tell that they took pride in their home and how it appeared. Well, we had a delicious dinner together and wonderful conversation. And then after dinner, we decided with dessert, we would make some coffee. Well, my ears always perk up when I hear about coffee because I consider myself a connoisseur, an aficionado of sorts. So I volunteered to make the coffee. They accepted, and the wife momentarily excused herself, I think, to go to the restroom, and the husband was somewhere else at the moment. So I'm alone in the kitchen, and I pull out the grinder. I see it there on the counter. I get the beans. I load the grinder with beans, push the start button, nothing happens. I push it again and again, same thing. The grinder won't start. Well, I wanted to be helpful, so I took the lid off of the grinder, and I looked inside and inspected it and discovered that the little hole where the start button connects was jammed. It was jammed with particles, you know, coffee grinds. So I decided I would unclog it. You know where this is going, right? So I'm looking around, I go into the drawers, and I find this chopstick. It looks like the perfect size. I insert it into the hole. Just then, the wife reappears in the kitchen. The grinder kick-starts without the lid on. There are grinds and beans everywhere. You would just be surprised at how far and wide this thing will go in a kitchen like this. It was scattered in every corner of the room. It's like I'd set off a bomb in their perfect house. We were all scampering around, you know, trying to clean it up. And even the dog was helping, lapping up the coffee beans, which isn't good for them. So we were all in a state of panic. Well, finally, it took like half an hour, and we finally got it all cleaned up. But I felt so bad about what had happened that I politely excused myself and went home. You see, I had assumed that I had worn out my welcome. Later, I found out that was wrong. We're still friends today, but I remember feeling so ashamed of my mistake that I assumed the friendship was over. Don't hold yourself back. Don't close yourself off from a friendship with God because you're ashamed of some mistakes you've made in the past. Those are in the past. They do not define you. Don't assume that God doesn't want to be friends with you anymore. Scripture says that everywhere, in every nation, God shows no partiality. Whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him. It doesn't matter what you have done in the past. You can always get back on track with God's friendship. You just have to believe that he has made you worthy of receiving his friendship. Another reason some people don't close themselves off to God's friendship is because they're just really busy with life, right? They've got the kids, a big job, a lot of responsibilities. They don't have time to invest in a friendship with God. But let me say this. Your priorities will never be more right. Your success never more assured. Your dreams never more guaranteed than when you put your friendship with God first. I have seen this time and time again in my life and in other people's lives, that when they put God first, everything works out. They get that promotion at the job they wanted. Their kids are thriving. Their marriages are getting better. Their finances prosper. People who put in the big rocks first and prioritize their friendship with God find that all those other claims and demands on their time simply fall into place. God makes everything work out for the good. I know you're busy, you've got a lot to do, life is demanding, your to-do list is impossibly long. But don't hold yourself back from God's friendship. Invest the time and receive God as your friend in your life, and you will see amazing things change and happen for you. One last reason I think some people close themselves off to God's friendship is because they've tried in the past and they've been disappointed. They felt abandoned or hurt by God because he didn't seem to be there in the storms of life. They tried talking to him but didn't hear anything back. They started reading the Bible but got discouraged and didn't get very far. Life has a way of throwing roadblocks temporarily in our way. Obstacles come onto our path. And you may have wondered, where was God? God felt like he was a million miles away. But let me also say this. Your friendship with God will work out in the long run when you stay the course. When you stay the course, victory comes from long obedience in the same direction. Victory comes from long obedience in the same direction. Our part is simply to receive that victory, to believe that it's coming around the corner, and that in the end, God is going to make everything right and is going to work it out for you. Don't hold yourself back from God's friendship. Keep trusting in God, and you will see amazing things happen in your life. God will work everything out for you, for the good and for your good, when you are open to receiving his friendship.